Throughout the season of Advent here at First, we've been reflecting on the various titles of Jesus, titles that we find not only in Scripture itself, but also often that we often sing about in that familiar carol, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. And so this evening, we're going to briefly reflect on the title that's here in Isaiah chapter 11, the branch of Jesse. But before we do so, let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we pray now that both through your word and through your spirit present in this place, that you will speak into our hearts, that you will speak into our lives, and that you will lead us to a place of rest and of peace, a place that only you can bring about. We pray all of this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Dear friends, in Jesus Christ, when it comes to our text tonight, the famous American filmmaker and comedian Woody Allen once quipped, "The day may well come when the lion will lie down with the lamb, but the lamb isn't going to get much sleep." Allen intended that to be a joke, but he actually makes a pretty good point. If ever such a picture is to become a reality, there needs to be some significant changes in the hearts of all the creatures involved. That the lamb needs to be able to go to sleep knowing that the lion will never be hungry for lamb chops ever again. That the parents of the toddler playing near the cobra need to know that the snake will keep his tongue away from their child should she put her hand into its nest. In other words, the world as we know it needs to be turned upside down. A lot of things need to change for there ever to be the kind of shalom that our text envisions. Such shalom is understandably difficult to imagine when we see the pictures of the rubble in Gaza, the war in Ukraine, and even the daily news headlines here in the States. It's hard for us to imagine such peace on earth while the war rages on between Russia and Ukraine. Goodwill to men? Tell that to the military leaders of Hamas and Israel. A coming Prince of Peace? Tell that to the thousands of victims of senseless violence and addictive drugs. Of course, life for Israel during the time of Isaiah was rather despairing as well. The northern kingdom of Israel has been dismantled. Many of its citizens have been deported. Assyria is now threatening Judah. Babylon is growing in power. More than a few ineffective Davidic kings have made a mess of things. Even during a time of material prosperity, even that didn't bring about a sense of well-being and security. A great deal of gloom and doom is in the air. The once fruitful tree of David's dynasty is slowly withering away. It's about to be reduced to a dead stump. And then out of this darkness, Isaiah gives us this beautiful prophecy of hope and light. And the picture here is of a day many years in the future. A day long after the family tree of David has been cut down and turned into a rotting stump. No longer is a descendant of David sitting on the throne. And yet from this lifeless, rotting stump, a tender green shoot will appear. Life will spring out of death and desolation. One day there will come a new descendant of David, and this new shoot or branch will be the king whom God has once promised. And he'll be the kind of Davidic king that all the other kings had failed to be. Had failed to be and had failed to do. He will be a king that will bear fruit. The fruit of justice and peace for all. The kind of king that will delight in doing God's will in a way that he carries out his kingship. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, Isaiah prophesies. In other words, the Spirit of God will be on him permanently throughout his reign. Take note of some of the important characteristics that the Spirit will bless this king with. A spirit of wisdom and understanding. A spirit of counsel and power. A spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. That spirit of wisdom and understanding will enable the king to make good decisions in governing his kingdom. This king will have wisdom from on high, God-given knowledge and insight to lead and to rule. The spirit of counsel and power will enable the king to wisely guide his people and also give him the power to do so. This coming king will have both perfect wisdom and sovereign power. And finally, this future king will also have the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. The knowledge here is not just some intellectual correctness, but an intimate relationship with God Himself. The fear of the Lord is at the heart of the Jewish faith. And so this future leader, contrary to all the others, will lead a life centered on Yahweh. His greatest delight will be his relationship with God. This shoot from a stump, unimpressive in its beginning, will be awesome in his reign. And his reign will be characterized by righteousness, by justice, by faithfulness. In other words, this king won't listen to his cronies and make judgments on what is politically popular. No, he'll actually make things just for the needy. Just not in the liberal politician sense, but in the sense of doing what is right. With utter righteousness, this king will do two specific things that all citizens want from their leaders: tender care for the destitute, stern punishment for those who exploit them. In other words, the coming king will take care of the victims and deal with the predators. The poor will no longer be neglected. The wicked will not get away with their evil. The world has never seen a leader like this, but no doubt it longs for one. Here in our passage, Isaiah promises that such a king is coming, this shoot or branch from the stump of Jesse. And at this point in the passage, the sense is that the coming king is going to be some amazing civil servant who will bring about incredible social reforms for the people of God. A king who will make things right for them. A king who will righteously use his power wisely. But then we arrive at verse 6. And the entire passage explodes into this glorious zoo picture of nature at peace. Creation itself is going to be restored. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together. A little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra. And the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. And they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In other words, not only is this king going to make the world as we know it much better, but he's going to get rid of all violence, disease, suffering, and death. He's going to make everything right. Even little children won't have to be afraid of anything. The coming king, this branch of Jesse, is going to make everything the way things are supposed to be. Not even death itself will be a part of the new world that the branch of Jesse is bringing. A full knowledge of the Lord will bring about a peace that knows no death. And all of this will be accomplished by a little shoot from the stump of Jesse. Well, the question then becomes, who is this king? Who is this shoot coming up from the stump of Jesse? In the Bible, this botanical image is a metaphor. A shoot coming forth from a stump or a branch coming forth from a tree means that you've descended from someone. You've come out of someone else. And in this case, it means that this future king will come out of Jesse, who is also the father of David. In other words, this coming king will be a physical descendant of both Jesse and David. But now look at verse 10. Not only is this king going to be a shoot or branch of Jesse, but he's also the root of Jesse. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the prophet, for the peoples. A root is something that you've grown out of. In other words, verse 10 is saying that Jesse himself and David too came from this king. So how can someone be both the shoot and the root? How can someone be both a descendant of Jesse and David, but also be the source of Jesse and David? And the answer, of course, well, that's what Christmas is all about. Jesus is God. He's the great creator God who is the root of all of us, Jesse and David included. And he's also the one who willingly became a weak human being, a descendant of Jesse and David, and 2,000 years ago became the God-man for you and for me. It's the miracle of Christmas. God in the flesh, the wisdom of God revealed through a little baby in the manger. Jesus is the branch of Jesse the prophet Isaiah is prophesying about. And so let me bring this little meditation to an end by drawing your attention to the incredible promise given in verse 10. You see, when it comes to all the many great things that this king will provide, justice, righteousness, and peace, the promise isn't just for the nation of Israel and for the animal kingdom. No, the promise is that God will draw all nations to himself by raising a banner among the nations. The appearance of the shoot from the stump of Jesse will begin to rally a divided world to himself. As Paul puts it in Ephesians 1, verse 10, God's plan is to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. You see, Isaiah's prophecy of this peaceable kingdom isn't just a quaint picture to put on a nice Christmas card. No, it's a picture of the future that God repeatedly says that he has planned for his creation. A true picture of the future that should inspire and shape the way that we view various events and pictures of despair, even in our own lives. In other words, it should shape the way that we think about what is happening in Ukraine, the Middle East, and even our own personal lives. Because you see, in the face of sin, in the face of significant brokenness, and even amidst the temptation to despair, we cling to the vision of the way God created things to be, this vision of a peaceable kingdom. The baby born in Bethlehem is a sign that God will keep his promise to one day usher in a new creation, a place where peace will reign. The branch of Jesse has come, and the good news for us tonight is that he's coming again. And in the meantime, we pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.